cliffcentral.com.
Kalani with Crazy. But it's spelled Caruso, yeah. There's no A in there. All right. If you're wondering what's going on this morning, Tumi Morake is with us. It's Friday.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Testing, hello.
You woke me up like so early. OMJ. My husband was like, where are you going?
I'm like, he's Gareth. He's like, you're cheating on me.
Yeah, it's like, his name is Gareth. He was like, oh God, that vanilla of yours. And then turned around and slept.
So Tumi's going to hang with us this morning. And we've got some really cool guests coming in later on. Thomas Gumede is coming.
Oh, the funny young man.
Yeah.
Okay.
And with him, Lungile Radu, they are they're busy producing a new TV show.
Aye.
Yeah.
See, there's one thing. I like those guys.
It's called Hashtag Bring Back My Lover.
Ah. Yeah? Is it a seance?
I think it's Radu, ne?
Radu?
Radu. Sorry. I think that's how it's pronounced.
Okay.
Like the
is
R.
Is he Exhosa?
Like Jeff Radeb.
Like the R in Kholihlahla. Yeah.
Or Lucas Radeb.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll talk to them. They're putting together a TV show called Bring Back My Lover. It's not a seance, apparently, and we'll find out from them what the real story is. But they're like, they go and they find your ex and they see if there's still any love left.
As in, so me and you have broken up.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, nah, nah. And then we go, ish, maybe we actually want love back.
Wants love back. And the other one doesn't. They've moved on. They've got a new girlfriend or something else.
But they'll agree to a date.
Uh-huh.
So
for TV.
Wait. Hold on. So then you agree. You're like, oh, okay. You want me on TV for us to test if we still love each other.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So you know it's going to lead to crying and wailing and kissing and sex and problems.
In front of the TV.
Uh-huh.
So then if Mabale is your current bae and I'm your ex, are you going to go to current bae and be like, look, I've always wanted to be on TV, so I'm going to go and do this thing? Because I'm trying to understand if you already have a current bae, but you're going to be on TV with your ex. Therefore, all your friends are watching you being humiliated by your man.
You must never forget, you've been on TV a lot, so you don't care.
Yeah.
Like, for someone who's just got an average relationship going, and that's the highlight, and they could be on... And they could be on TV. And they could be on TV.
Yes.
Okay. There are a lot of people who are desperate to get onto TV, and it doesn't really matter what for.
I mean, you remember those weddings you used to have on your show? Those people just wanted to be on TV. They didn't care about the actual marriage. They just wanted the wedding on TV. You remember them. Come on. All right, here's a message from Inati. He says, I got you guys one more listener all the way from Russia. Her name is Musitsa Nandlovu in Russia.
Oh. that's a very typically Russian name. I saw that coming.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Svetlana Musitsa Nandlovu. And Mark says, I think Tumi must join the show on a permanent basis. What a winner it would be.
These guys are too smart for me. I can't.
No ways. Not a chance.
They know too many things.
And this is from Kevin. He says, morning, Gareth. We not only have the All Blacks in Durban, but in studio as well. I don't know what that means.
Because you said you've gone all black in the studio.
For the
remember
show.
You said you want to go fully black.
Because I almost read that wrong, and then I thought he said we have all the blacks in Durban. It's like, no, you don't. I've seen some here.
No, because you've gone full retard on the blacks in the studio today.
All right, let's get into some stories. But before that, let me ask you this. What are the most critical requirements for companies in today's business environment? Communications and technology. Who better to deliver this to you than iConnect Telecoms? From internet connectivity to voice and cloud platforms to the latest in IT solutions and more, iConnect ensures maximum uptime and productivity with more reliable connectivity and the necessary support and backup. That's right, iConnect is your answer, all delivered by a single solution provider. Go to iConnectSA.co.za for more info. That's iConnectSA.co.za, the one provider to manage all your communications.
All right, Gareth, let's begin with the story regarding the comedian Skumba. Now, we know Skumba. He's been on our show before. He's a funny guy. You know, we like him. Like, he's all right.
Yeah.
But part of what happened during the protests on Monday this week at Wits University was at some point during the protests, some of the women, decided to...
That was my own Skumba sound effect.
Oh, okay. Some of the women decided to remove their tops and their bras as part of the protest, so they were left topless, right?
So he joked about this, now he's a sexist, misogynist pig?
Well, you see, he wasn't the only one who was making comments on these women's bodies, and so it turned into a whole Twitter feud, you know, with the one people on the one side saying, typical men... ridiculing women's bodies. Typical men, as soon as they see a topless woman, for them it becomes about sex. Oh, you're such a bunch of children. And then on the other side, you had people saying, but guys, why are you taking your tops off?
What can I say it's your juice?
No, you cannot. Why are you removing your clothing? What purpose does it serve? You know, and then countering the because then on that other side, you had people saying, oh, body shaming again. Here we go. Typical. And people were saying, yeah, but you removed your clothes.
Yeah.
And then you don't want me to make comments about the fact that you willingly took your clothes off. What must can happen now? So Skumba was one of the people who had apparently made comments about these topless women.
Mm-hmm.
And what subsequently happened was Twitter was left fuming. So some people started a petition because he's on Kaya FM. Ne?
Is that where he did it? Did he do it in that little slot of his on Friday?
I think that's where it happened because...
So now they want him fired?
Well, they want him fired, Gareth.
Oh, these fucking social justice warriors. I hate these people. You know, just because you have a job that nobody cares about and nobody knows about and you troll from like some horrible place in the middle of the CBD... does not mean that you're in a position, because someone is in a public job, to remove them from that job because you disagree with
but
them.
But it's a great pickup line when you go, you know, me, I got Skumba fired, me, baby. If you want to know who I am, let me show you here. Yeah. You see, this is me. I was tweeting it, and where is he now? Yeah, yeah. Just making millions somewhere else.
As of yesterday, this petition had amassed 3,000 signatures.
Oh,
and they were
calling... All 3,000 of those people should be chased into the sea.
They were calling for Skumba to be removed. So what has happened now is Skumba has had to apologize. Because I get it, that's what happens. When there's enough pressure put on someone, then, you know, either their PR team or, you know, their management team say, okay, listen, like, we have to try and defuse the situation. So he has. He has apologized now. He said, I'm sorry to everyone that I've offended. No harm was meant on that video. I respect women. And again, I'm really sorry from the bottom of my heart. He says that he was misunderstood.
No, don't say I'm sorry I said it, then say I was misunderstood.
Mm-mm.
Either you said the wrong thing and you're sorry you offended,
mm-hmm.
or don't apologize.
Mm-hmm.
But because if you're misunderstood, then you're going to have to explain to me what you meant. Because here's the thing. Comedians are comedians and they will talk cack. And that's why I'm asking, where did he do it? Because you know what I mean? Did he do it on the Kaya show? Because there we know his job is to make fun of current affairs and what's going on.
And it's not like he went out and manufactured a story about women's bodies out of nowhere. These women decided that the best way for them to get attention for their protest, because all it is attention seeking, was to take their tops off.
Yeah.
Okay,
so when they did this, they thought, what, nothing would happen?
So he didn't do it on his show. Apparently what he did was he shared a video on Tuesday of himself saying that...
That's how much he's offended, ne?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Just choking on this rubbish.
That's the TB.
So what he said in this video was he found it distasteful that women took their bras off on TV. He said, please don't show your boobs. When boobs show, when a boob shows, it should be like a tennis ball. These females are showing hanging boobs that look like wet all-stars without shoelaces. Others have big tummies with silver stripes. So he was, you know, he would much rather see... I mean, if a woman is going to take her top off, basically what Skumba is saying, and a lot of men will not disagree with this, they would prefer to see a hot young thing. They don't want to see you if your boobs are not... what they wank to. Okay?
And like, that's a bullshit statement. I consider it 3,001 signatures.
You're offended as well. Uh-oh.
Ah, my stomach and my silver stripes are offended. Ay, 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 ay. In fact, Gareth, before we knock off, I'm going to pull up my top. Listen, it's time.
Yeah. Bring it on.
Here's the thing for me. A colleague of mine at U Magazine, she was at that protest on Monday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because she was covering it for the magazine. And she was there when some of these women took their tops off. So she asked them, and she said, okay, so why are you doing this? And these women, you know, initially they were giving a whole bunch of answers alluding to the fact that, well, you know, the police officers are, you know, are being so brutal with us when they manhandle us. If we remove our clothing, then surely they won't attack us then.
Yeah, but
because it will make them look bad.
It's not like you're just standing there in silent protest and the police are just standing there and then they suddenly advance on you for no good reason and like start beating you with their batons.
Unless we're in Marikan.
So my colleague kept pushing this woman and she said, okay, but what purpose does it serve? What does it solve? What do you hope to achieve by taking your clothes off?
Yeah.
And then ultimately, eventually, the person that she was interviewing ended up saying, well, it will get us onto TV.
There we go.
You need traction. You need traction.
I don't know. This is a tricky one for me because, I mean, what? Like, I don't know. I actually don't know what to think.
And it's okay.
It's
okay not to have a standpoint sometimes, eh? Because I've come to make peace with that as well. That it's okay not to have a standpoint.
Really?
Yeah, it's okay sometimes. Because, you know, they say if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for everything. Mm. But if it's something that you genuinely still need to find yourself in, it's okay to take a moment, step back, look at it, and decide.
Yeah, but then don't. Join
Don't join it. Yeah, yeah.
Go home and think about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Or go to class, even better.
But I do think also your timing, man. Like, I don't know.
Okay, so what would you do if you were Skumba? Because you know this is going to happen to you. It's happened to you already. People think, that thing Dumi said was unacceptable. Then somebody gets upset and offended. And just because someone's feelings are hurt, now suddenly you have to change your whole act. They want you fired.
You have to be prepared for the risk. When you take the risk, be ready for the repercussions. That's all it means, you know? The thing about now he must be fired is bullshit because he didn't do it at work. Mm. He did this in his own personal capacity and he's a comedian. And if Skumba had to be fired for something he says, then he should have been fired last year already. This guy... No, seriously, he says stuff. You know what I mean? But... Again, I'm going to say, sometimes look at what's happening. For example, if Leon Schuster comes out with another movie where he's painted black like a black woman at a time when we're all fighting this whole blackface thing, ne? We all go, but guy, are you ignorant of where you are? Body shaming is a huge thing right now, especially on social media. Then you go and post this video on social media where people are, where you have your gatekeepers of body shaming and body loving, you know? Then you know you're starting cack with some people, unless you're being ignorant.
But
you have to stand for your voice. As long as you can stand for what you say. So, that's why I'm saying, don't say you were misunderstood. I would stand up and be like, I was making a joke. Done. I was making a joke. I did not. I'd ask people, watch all my videos. Tell me where I seem like I'm making a public service announcement. Because I'm a comedian and my job is to post jokes. You're offended. I'm sorry you're offended. But this was in the spirit of my job. That's it. Because I'm not reading that and going, oh my God, my silver stripes and my mkaba and my spaniel ears have now been shamed. No, I'm going, yeah, but that's Skumba. That's what he does. You know what I mean?
You see, my question to the keepers of the body shape, is it what, body shaming community? I don't know. But my question would then be, guys, have you never at one point in your life said something horrible about somebody else? Because I'll tell you something. In the past, every time I've seen Rick Ross topless, I have launched into some of the most vitriolic, most like
vitriolic.
Uncalled for statements that were not necessary, but I've said them. Every time I see Donald Trump on television, I'm not kind about how ugly that man is.
No,
I'm,
but
I'm
not... that's because he's not kind in how he looks. Okay. There's nothing kind
but,
about
no, but this is the point.
An onslaught.
This is the point that I'm making. Surely we have all, at one point or another, been guilty of saying mean, horrible things about the way somebody else looks.
And even if you weren't, you wouldn't be human. Like, who are these people who are so perfect that they never say anything horrible?
So is the only reason that we're holding somebody like Skumba to account on the things that he said because he's a celebrity?
Because we want to project our guilt onto him.
Mm.
It's because we feel bad about all the horrible things we've said about
someone
fat
else must,
people.
Someone must, yeah.
And but now we're gonna
now we must it, punish the fat guy.
But I think
for it, stuff up.
But
on
I think it's also because he is in the public eye. Because for some reason people want to hold, you know, people like Botu Mimoraki and Bo Gareth Cliff. They want to hold you to, Like, they want you to account for more than the average person simply because you are a public figure, as if you are meant to be more responsible, a more responsible human being than the rest of us average people. Why is that? Why are you supposed to be more responsible simply because you are in the public eye? I've said horrible things about people. Nobody gets to hear the things that I've said.
I think that's the problem. You're seeing them here. You know, you're seeing them in private.
No, but we've all said horrible things.
See, it just makes me question these protesters. Because forget about Skumba and the fact that he said this, because he wouldn't have said it if they didn't appear on TV with their titties out.
Yeah.
Now, here's the deal. To me, these protests are becoming increasingly ridiculous because they're becoming more and more violent. It's more and more about hysteria and madness and mob and craziness, and it's got less and less to do with fees.
Yeah.
And now they've just got to the stage where they've got to keep upping the ante to get the cameras there. Because the cameras, we're all bored with your fee protests. Nobody cares anymore. We're bored.
They're drunk in the mirth of something.
They're drunk in the attention that they're getting. Yeah. So nobody cares. Put your titties back in your dress and let's all get back to work. Yes, we've got things to do in this country. Okay. We don't have time for this. Stop it. Plus, I don't think you could be taken very seriously if you're jumping to the next level of attention seeking just to prioritize your campaign in the public space. Stop it. You know?
Oh my God.
Gareth, what about preacher, young? Hey, what else is happening in the world, guys? You're depressing me with this whole thing. But the fees must fall. My husband, funny enough, yesterday, we're like totally discussing this whole fees must fall thing. Because we went to Vets, ne? And he got to finish in time. I didn't because I ran out of money. And then it was hard. And he was saying, how's it going to work? Because I said, look, my panic is I have 3 children. If education becomes free, I know for a fact this is South Africa and I know my country. The standard is going to drop, which means it's going to be cuck for me because I know my children will then want to go to the US and go to the UK, go somewhere else for their education.
Correct.
So inevitably,
which
it's going to cost me more to educate my children, right? Mm-hmm. At the same time, I know what it's like to be that student who genuinely can't afford to pay their fees, right? So I was thinking that there must be a middle ground to this thing. If you say a basic degree is free, a basic BA, a straight BA, a straight BSc, no specialist degree should be free. Because when you want to specialize, that means you've had time to do the normal degree. You can intern somewhere and get that company to pay for your school fees. You know, you can make a plan in life. But it scares me to think that if everything is free and we're trying to have specialist degrees for free, in an institution like Wits.
Well, if you want to see how free education doesn't work, just look at our basic education system.
Exactly.
I mean, would you want to subject any child that you love and care about to the basic education system of South Africa?
Now
where you get taught the most rudimentary stuff in the world. They come out barely literate, barely numerate, and this is for free. Is it really worth anything? That's why it's for free, because it's worth nothing.
It's worth fuck all. It's sad because basic education is actually cut. You get to high school and those people, it's almost like you want to flip it around. Can they start in high school, finish at foundation?
Yeah.
Well, where we're all losing each other in this discussion is finding that middle ground and finding solutions, because different people have different ideas of where that middle ground should be
and
what solutions we should implement.
Again, nothing is for free. If you're getting something for free, someone somewhere is paying. Now,
it's not worth it.
We are 45 billion rand in deficit for the next fiscus if we bring in the most tax we can bring in, which means we're suddenly going to be borrowing money from all over the world, which is not good for us. It means inflation rates are going to go up, all kinds of things in the long run. So don't think this is free. This is going to cost even the poor people.
Yeah, because you know what's funny? People do not value free shit. That's actually true. I used to do a show in poor schools. I'm talking the poorest of the poor, where some kids are coming to school without shoes, okay? This is when I was doing educational theater. Mm-hmm. Do you know we would, even if we had to charge 10 cents or 5 cents for these kids to watch the show, and I saw the difference in what we got in those schools where we arrived and no one had to pay, and the way the kids treated the show when they knew they parted with money. Mm-hmm. They valued what they were getting.
Right.
And I support you completely when I get it. I'm saying this because it's not like I don't know what it's like to not. Guys, I'm not even speaking as someone who's on the outside looking in. I had to work to finish my degree. It took me a good 4 years to work to make the money to pay first pay off my debt that I already owed the university and then pay to finish my degree. So I'm not coming from oh, yeah, that's because you fucking got your degree and you're so freaking privileged. I'm not. I could never. When I went to university, I went as a student who could never afford those fees. But I knew I was that smart and I knew I had the potential. And so I pushed. I didn't sit and wait for a fucking handout. Because that's another thing that frustrates me about this country. This handout mentality that black people have developed bothers me.
And now white
it
people.
It bothers. I don't care about your people. They're not part of my reality. I'm talking about my people of the soil. whose future I'm worried about and I care about. This handout situation needs to end. I see people who live on properties that have so much. Your backyard is so big. You can't plant one seed for a freaking spinach. Spinach. I live in a suburb. I'm eating spinach that was planted. I will even, you know what? I'm going to go. There's a little plot of land that we rent in Yeovil. I'm going to take a picture of that. And I'm going to show you. You know how people like to fight foreigners? We are the only South Africans who are also renting land back there with other foreigners who grow their own produce. And imagine how much they're saving on vegetables. And it's organic, Baba. It's organic, not coming at a Woolies price. Why? We're not about the freaking handouts. My children, people look at them and go, whoo, your children needing money, they must be privileged children. Ha! They earn everything they get. My son doesn't just go, oh, mommy, I like that game, I want that game. He knows he must earn that game. The only time he gets something without earning it is Christmas.
Which is why it's
and
called
that's a
Christmas.
Privilege. And that's why it's a, yeah, and that's privilege. That's even his birthday. I told him next day he's not getting a birthday cake. Why? I got him a birthday cake. Get the nerve to bitch about something missing on the cake instead of thanking me first for bringing him the cake. And I said, Bonsu, you're not getting a cake next year. And I love how he thought I was joking. I meant it. If he's getting one, it won't be coming from me. I'm telling you that right now. This hand me is not empowering. We need to learn how to fish. So many of us have so much money. What are we doing with that money? And I'm speaking to my people of the soil who have arrived. What are you doing with that money? You were sponsored. Who are you sponsoring? No. I'm sorry. Ooh, don't make me angry when I get it. I want this thing.
You see, we've been taken to church on a Friday morning.
Right. I'm finished. Now I'm back to joy. Let's find something joyful. Okay. I'm done.
All right. We got what's going on, Lucas? Talk to me.
No, somebody's coming to see you. To drop something.
Oh, okay.
Whoa!
That sounds good.
Let's stand back. You never know. But let's stand back.
Dumi's right. I mean, you know, I love fiery stuff like this. This is the kind of shit that I love. This makes me happy on a Friday morning. Energizes me.
Does it give you a semi?
Sort of, yeah. Yeah, actually, yeah, totally.
I forgot a semi.
You know what it is? It's like there's this idea that there is someone somewhere who's just really, really keen not to help you.
Yeah.
And all they have to do is help you and then everything will be all right.
Yeah.
Like my buddy often says, people don't care about your problems.
Mm-mm.
Nobody does. The government doesn't. The church doesn't.
Mm.
Other people don't. They've got their own problems. Yeah. They've got their own kids to pay for. They've got their own things to do. And this idea, and I don't know where it comes from. Maybe it's political. I don't know. But the fact that there are hardworking people in villages somewhere planting stuff and trying to make a subsistence living. And then the government says to them, but here's a social grant. And then those people stop making what they're making. They stop planting what they're planting. They stop doing what they're doing so that they can just get the social grant. And that's enough for them.
Yeah.
There isn't an ambition, which, and I'm not saying this is true for everybody, but I've seen this happen in communities in like KZN that I've been into where people for years and years and years, long before there were social grants, they made a living.
Yes.
Well, because they had to.
That's right. Mm. Now suddenly you say to them, what do you do? And they're like, oh no, I'm poor, I'm on social grants. They've given up on trying.
Mm.
And I'm not saying that it's easy. I know some people don't have ground to plant anything on. Some people don't even have a roof over their heads. Yeah. Some people have no money, they have no water, they have no electricity, they have nothing. I feel for those people. Mm. Those are the people we should be helping in this country.
Mm.
But this idea that now at the top of the pyramid, those elite people who are going to a tertiary education institution, the top 2% of our population who are going to get degrees, those people want that for free too?
That doesn't make sense, bro.
Okay, have it for free, but then understand that it's going to be worthless. You know, this is the problem. Anyway, let's move on. There's other stuff to talk about.
Okay. So
this is how Dumi's come down from that.
Yeah, no.
Now she's almost depressed.
Well, you know,
I'm gonna keep it light for the next one because
living with you must be
it's a pain. It's exciting for him. He never knows what's coming. It's like a lucky baguette.
Not to mention poor Bonsu. That's just that birthday cake. I'm sending the poor fucker a cake.
No, don't. He insulted me yesterday. Mabale, before you. He insulted me
How
yesterday.
How old is he, by the way?
He's 7. He comes to me yesterday. He goes, "Mom, your tummy's getting big again. I hope there isn't a baby in there." I'm like, "Bonsu, that's rude." He says, "No, sorry, Mom. I don't mean it like that. It's just that you have lots of kids now. You can't have more. That's lots of us." I'm like, "Wow."
Oh, sweet friend. Okay. In the interest of keeping it light, Kim Kardashian. Would you like a... I know.
Oh, wait. I got something for you.
That's not light, though. Okay. That's heavy.
Yeah, Kim Kardashian went on a rant. Did you hear about this?
Oh, no, I didn't. Yeah. Do you have that for
Let
us?
Me play it for okay. you, and then we can talk about it afterwards.
Well. Kim Kardashian is in the news, you morons. You believe that shit? She got robbed in Paris. Who gives a shit? It was either a publicity stunt or an insult. My job, you morons. Again, keep supporting those no talents. How much rope did they need to tie up her tits and that big fucking fat ass of hers? Who gives a shit?
This is some dude. he went on this rant after that supposed story about her being robbed.
In Paris.
She's in a 5-star in hotel.
Yeah. Well, they were in their apartment.
Well, Kanye was at his concert.
Yes, but it happened at their apartment in Paris, right? Mm-hmm. Mm. Apparently what happened was five armed men stormed in. Kim wasn't alone in the apartment. A friend of theirs was sleeping downstairs. The bodyguard had apparently gone gallivanting somewhere, which is why people have been saying this was clearly an inside job. Mm-hmm. Anyway, five men get in. They tie her up with plastic handcuffs. They duct tape her.
Plastic ones.
Plastic handcuffs. They duct tape her. They throw her in her bathtub. They lock her in the bathroom. And then they get away with like over $10 million worth of jewelry. You know, and then after the fact, she was saying, oh, she was so scared because, you know, in the back of her mind, she was thinking, are these people going to rape me? Are these people going to rape me? So, you know, from those accounts alone, it sounds like it was a pretty traumatic thing. I mean, you imagine you're sleeping in your house.
They were like, Boom. No, we saw the sex tape. No, thanks. We just want the jewelry.
Boom, five men are in. Yeah. They're tying you up. You know, I mean, if it happened to any one of us, it would be fucking scary. Mm. Anyway, after the fact, now the show, the Keeping Up with the Kardashians reality TV show has now been put on hold.
Oh, yeah.
So they're not going to be filming.
So she can be...
Because she's very traumatized, apparently. Shame, like, she's suffering from all kinds of things, blah, blah, blah. Right. And I see what has been happening is... There are a lot of, you know, famous people, if you will, people like Karl Lagerfeld and them, who have gotten into trouble with Twitter for saying things like, yeah, but Kim Kardashian is the kind of person who flaunts her wealth anyway, so of course this was going to happen and she deserves it.
But that's a stupid statement.
Yeah, it's very stupid. Nobody deserves
having their private space invaded. I don't care.
Nobody deserves having anything stolen from them.
How much you hate the Kardashians.
Yeah, and you don't deserve to be thrown in a bathtub, let alone anything worse than that, which I'm pleased to say didn't happen. But okay. The problem I think a lot of people have is that the Kardashians have done so much bullshit stuff that we don't know if this is real.
Yeah.
That's what I'm worried about. I don't, like, if Kim Kardashian was seriously robbed by people, I don't wish her ill. Like, the last thing I'd want is for her to get hurt. I don't have an axe to grind with this woman.
No.
But if it's bullshit, if they're pulling the wool over our eyes, if they're saying to us, this is just another episode of Ryan Seacrest's TV show, then I'm going to be really annoyed because then that's crying wolf.
Mm. Which is very dangerous.
And you know how many women in the world have to put up with actual real-life scenarios where they get tied up, where much worse stuff happens to them. Mm. And this woman's doing this for ratings. If that's the truth, then people are going to be pissed off.
Yeah.
And this is a problem, is that we don't know whether or not this was staged.
Well, we don't know anything about the Kardashians. We don't know what's true and what isn't.
But how far have you been letting people go if this can even be a conversation? Like, seriously.
Let's go to the lines. Hey, morning.
Morning.
Hey, what's up, man? Who am I speaking to?
Anonymous, please.
What?
I wanted to speak about the topic that Gareth is talking about.
Yeah, go ahead. You're on air, man. Go for it.
I'm on air.
Yeah, you want to talk to us? Go for it.
Yes. I think it's a problem with this country. I didn't see anything wrong what Kumba has said or done. He's a comedian, for God's sake. Mm-hmm. He jokes about the most famous person on earth, the prisoner, Oscar Pistorius. No one talks about Petition. Why taking us the, why showing us the boobs? This is Fees Must Fall, not Boobs Must Fall. No, man, let's be realistic here. Are we really, really, really now?
All right, listen. I agree with you, dude. This whole thing, don't take it out on Skumba because you got issues.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Skumba is a comedian. He jokes about even the president of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Why not do a petition about it?
Yeah.
He's a comedian. There's serious issues. There's an uneducated Motswana. Why not go and talk to him about it?
Yeah. All right. Thanks, man. Yeah, I mean, it's priorities, right?
It is.
And people can win a small victory, like, let's get Skumba fired from Kaya.
And we have to be honest, guys. It wasn't, for Skumba, it wasn't Boobs Must Fall, it was Boobs Must Rise.
They must.
Because he felt they had fallen a little below.
No, but that is actually very, very disrespectful of you to want to have somebody fired from their job when it doesn't fall. I mean, if the guy was found to be, you know, to have brought the company into disrepute, okay, then fine. But how dare you? How dare you insert yourself in something that doesn't even have anything to do with company policy and you insist that somebody lose their job?
Their livelihood.
Umangwena.
Do people understand, though, that this is somebody's job? This is, he's not just there talking cack because
no,
it's
he's
fun.
He's not there
actually,
killing time,
he's making
having
money
fun. This is part of building his brand, part of building his wealth for his...
But it's a victory they can win, you see, because people will put pressure on companies to get rid of someone.
Mm.
In the past, no one listened to those people. They were like crazy people in the corner of the street.
Who had to go and post shit. Like, they had to make the effort.
They had to go to the post office and write in crayons. And send it to...
Now
they're on social media, so everybody's listening? Come on. Just shut it down. Just block those people. Don't follow them. Don't listen to them. And all the stupid companies that actually react to this kind of pressure, they need to have a lesson too.
Well, they're more concerned about their image and how they look.
Well, let me tell you what...
That's why these companies
cave. Let me tell you what happens to your image. For the first week, there's controversy, and everyone's like, oh, you must fire this person, they're bad for you. And a week later,
they're forgotten. Crayons.
Stop being such, they're crayons, I'm telling you. These people can't, they're not able to like articulate their thought.
Or use words like vitriol.
No.
I'm still on vitriol.
Look at my buddy.
That word, you made my morning. You and your English. Matric with exemption situation.
Right. It's 7:30. We'll look at some more headlines in a moment or two. Tumi Morake is with us this morning, and we've got some really cool guests coming in later on. Thomas Gubende and Lungile Radu are going to join us in a short while to talk about a new show that they're busy putting together. Lots of good stuff coming up. Here's the Chainsmokers. Friday. It is the weekend, baby.
God.
It's the Chainsmokers with Closer. Very, very nice. Friday morning. Oh, it's so good. What are you doing over the weekend, Dumi? Are you working? Are you doing gigs and things?
No, I'm not working because I'm about to spend 2 weeks away in Australia and New Zealand. So what I've decided to do is spend my entire weekend with my children. I'm going to be a full-time mom. There's a swimming gala tomorrow because
gala?
My children swim. Yeah. Oh, my God. My children are like, proper privileged. So my son, my firstborn, is taking part.
You know, it reminds me of when Nina Hastie came in here once and she says to me, oh, I'm privileged. I throw that shit in people's faces. She goes, I love telling people how privileged I am. She said, that's the point. They're just jealous.
You must own this sheet. So he's participating in a competition because he's been swimming since he was like a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other two are there just to swim because there's swimming involved.
Right.
yeah. But they swim. My little girl's been swimming since she was 6 months. I'm that person.
Man. Wow.
So we're doing Swimmingala. After Swimmingala, we're going to watch a movie. I will not disclose where, because then you want to take photos with me and my babies. I'm not telling you where. But okay, we're going to watch movies, because I did promise them that as a reward, we're going to get to watch a movie.
Nice.
Because I made Bonsu clean up his sibling's mess. So...
For this poor child.
I know, eh? No, but shame, I didn't make him make him. I made him order them to help him do it. And he ended up doing most of it because they're not scared of him. They're not scared of him. What else am I doing this weekend? I can't remember. I can only remember up until Saturday. Oh, there's a bachelorette that night. So I'm going to get proper shit-faced.
Oh, nice. Yes.
Which is exciting. And then Sunday, he has catechism. And then I'm going to Vereeniging, to my cousin's place. We are having a catch-up
situation. Very good. That's, he's a got a whole weekend planned.
Very
weekend.
Family. No, me. You know why? Me, ne? That's why you don't see me in the social pages, my friend. My family are my people. I don't trust Johannes Beggars for shit. I've been in this town, for city, for so long. Try and find friends. Try. You try and find me, I guess, friends in Chinese. I don't trust you people. I don't. What's everybody else doing?
Now I feel like I'm doing nothing. My weekend's a complete downer after
yours.
I might
see you at Idols, though, because I'm post jealous and he said he wants to see Idols live.
All right.
Yeah, so if he behaves himself, if the nanny comes back early.
No, bring him. Go. Yeah, I look at this. My calendar for Friday night open, Saturday night open, Sunday night Idols. That's all I got to worry about. And you know what? That's the best weekend in the world. All right, so let's get into it. There are a couple of headlines that we need to pay attention to. Mabale Moloi has a look at those. It's 23 minutes to 8. What's going on, Mabs?
Well, a very bizarre story regarding the death of a 17-year-old girl, a South African girl, who was in Mauritius apparently when she died. And now her 34-year-old stepmother, Maria Vosloo, appeared in the Bambos District Court yesterday. She is facing a charge of provisional murder. Because apparently what happened was there was a dispute that unfolded at the island resort where they were staying. Witnesses said that they saw an argument ensue between Maria, the stepmother, and the 17-year-old girl. Her name is Mundoline Vosloo.
Wow. I mean, there should have been arrests over those names.
Oh, okay. So what happened was they started fighting over the towels at the swimming pool area, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Then the dispute flared up again later in the afternoon, and the teenager was allegedly struck several times in the face by this woman. Maria told the police that she had slapped the bad-tempered teen, who then staggered and collapsed on the floor in a corridor at the resort. And now it's turned out that the 17-year-old has subsequently died. The family also includes two younger brothers and this girl's father, who had arrived on the island to start their holiday on Tuesday. Sure. And now this 34-year-old woman, the stepmother, Maria Vosloo, has appeared in court. And as I said, she is being charged with the provisional murder of the 17-year-old girl.
But you'd have to smack a kid really hard to make them die,
intracranial, right? Hemorrhage.
Yes, yeah, so she must have taken a flat hand to the skull.
Yeah, Munnat. That's a redefined puss clap. Like, yeah. You know what I hate?
That would have echoed. I mean, that's very sad. Let's not make light of it. There's someone who's lost their life here. But hit your child like that, there's got to be some anger there.
Yeah. The day you threaten your child with that clap.
Yeah.
But you know what?
I'll give you a Mauritius clap.
You know when someone says, I'll beat you within an inch of your life. That's this one kind of missed the inch.
Yeah, she got her calculations wrong.
She got her calculations. But you know what?
Did your parents also used to say that to you? Like,
No, my mother. Did I ever tell you about my mother? My mother was a nurse. And my mother used to threaten me like someone who knows her stuff. She was quite an intelligent woman, God rest her soul. My mother would say to me, I will punch you in your sternum. You'll be asphyxiated. You will be dizzy.
Sure.
My mother. I used to pass my life, Jessica. No, my mother, she didn't threaten. She threatened other things. She'd even tell me where she could stab me where I wouldn't bleed, but I will feel the pain. And I'm like, what kind of parent threatens a child with things like this?
Sure, that is.
No, that was my mother.
It's very hardcore.
That was my mother.
That's very next level.
But I did lose an uncle who was kicked in the head during, they were arresting some guy, ne? And I'm wondering if this teenager hadn't been drinking when she wasn't supposed to. Why I'm saying that is a blow to the head, if your blood is thin, will kill you. And I remember that my uncle, the guy they were arresting, kicked him in the head and he landed on the floor. And by that afternoon, had passed away. He refused to go to the hospital because, like, no, man, I just got kicked in the face. I'm fine. Gandhi, he was busy bleeding
inside.
I can believe how this happened. And yeah, look, you know what's scary though? Because when stories like this come out, I like to read the comments from people. And people can be ugly. You're going, the story is ugly enough. You don't need to add your own ugly, you know? Because someone was talking about how they clearly this family traveled there with their common blood and backward blood, and it was still in there when they got to Mauritius. That's why this happening. And I'm like, why are you being ugly? This is a family, you know? And because these kids are, you can also imagine a lot of them are on social media, and they're likely to read this thing of you calling them common and backward and inbred. You know what I mean? Like, are there people who sit and wait to just spew bile?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Just mean, because that's mean. That's their moment they think they're going to shine.
Yeah. There are people who sit and wait to deliberately, you know, they are on attack mode.
Nah.
And it's not so much about what is being said as much as the person saying it. Because if they decided a long time ago that I don't like Dumi Moraki, anything you say, they will attack.
Yeah. One of two things I have concluded. They were either not breastfed or they were not hugged as children.
Yeah.
One of those, you are missing something to be that wrong in life. Yeah. Hey, it's rough, Baba. But I'm also thinking, you know, the stories, these fairy tales of the evil stepmother. This story goes and reinforces that kak. You know what I mean? Because what I've never liked about those fairy tales is, I mean, I come from a divorced family. And it was...
And the stepmother's always evil.
I was scared of the evil stepmother. And I have the sweetest stepmother in the world. But yeah, honestly, when I first met her, I was very careful of her. I wouldn't even eat her food. I kid you not.
I thought she was going to poison you.
I didn't know what she was putting. It was that thing. And maybe for me, it's too much. It's like, yeah, to me, maybe when you were just a child, you didn't know how to separate reality from fantasy. But you do kind of then grow up with a certain mindset about what happens if another person steps in your dad's life or your mom's life that's not your actual parent. So I feel like this is going to reinforce that cut, man.
Yeah, because now kids are going to be telling each other, did you hear about that stepmother in Mauritius?
Dude,
yeah.
But isn't there a part of you that's wondering about this girl's actual mother? That they probably already hated each other with this one. The high likelihood that can you imagine? Also, the amount of emotional blackmail ammo she has against her ex-husband now. Like, let's think about, let's take away from a moment this sad thing that's happened. Now let's look at human
Because
nature.
This is what will happen next.
Because this is what's going to happen next. That now, a woman who's already probably already bitter about that breakup, assuming she's not passed on, because I don't hear them mention her.
Yeah.
Assuming she's
still around.
Alive, if she's still around,
she's going to be furious.
Yeah, it's going to cause major disruptions in whatever bonds exist within them as a family unit.
No, it's screwed. This is going to add... Huge feel.
And the father. Can you imagine how the father's feeling? He's the one that brought this woman into his
their
children's
lives.
And now she's been charged with provisional murder of his daughter.
Now imagine if it was someone he was shaking behind the back of the wife. Guys, we're already writing the series right now. We're writing the movie.
All right.
This is the thick plottings.
Well, you know what? You carry on with the plot. But another thing that's going to be happening today, certainly at Wits University, is... Today's the day that they hold their General Assembly, right? So they're aiming at addressing the funding crisis at the institution. The General Assembly will be held with management. Parents are being asked to get involved. Students will be there, workers, and then also religious leaders. No mention here of whether...
Can they just leave Mtebo Dlamini out? Then everything will be fine.
I don't think you get to decide whether Mtebo gets left out. Mtebo arrives when he feels like it, and then you must just accommodate
him.
That's how it works.
I mean,
no,
I reminded everybody yesterday that this is a guy who said he was Walter Sisulu's other son, and the Sisulu said, "No, we distance ourselves from you." And then he's like, "Oh, okay, I was just lying."
Okay. So with all these people who are expected to be in attendance at this General Assembly, no mention of whether Minister Bladen Zimande will be in attendance.
Oof, I hope not for his sake, because you talk about people who hate someone.
Yesterday, students and workers were locked in talks. They were busy compiling a list of internal demands, which they'll be presenting today. They say that the purpose of the Assembly is to find a consensus on the issues that have been raised. Remember, Wits University and other institutions around the country remain closed this week. Wits were meant to open on Monday, and then that whole thing turned pear-shaped. And now they've had to shut their doors down again with the hopes of reopening next week Monday. And today they're having this General Assembly.
Let's hope they sort it out. People need to get back to studying. They need to finish their exams. Otherwise, it's a whole other year of studying. And if that happens, can they take in more first years? Maybe not.
No, they can't. That backlog.
They can't, because they'll have a backlog, right? So that means we will not have any university admissions next year.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine?
Oh, my God.
Nobody's thought about these things.
No.
It's 14 minutes to 8. We come back in a second or two. I've got a story. I promised you this on Wednesday already. Someone who is addicted to vapor rub. Yes.
Okay.
They're addicted to vapor rub.
Yeah.
Remember we're looking at strange addictions, Mavs?
Yes.
The other day we heard from someone who eats sand.
Yeah.
Then there was someone who eats plastic bags.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Then this do me with Candy Crush.
Do me with Candy. Are you addicted to Candy Crush?
To the point where I may as well be having an affair with Candy Crush, because now I have to hide my phone when I'm playing Candy Crush because I see the evil eye from my husband. Like, I can't. My battery dies from Candy Crush. And then I start contacting all my friends on Facebook, even people I don't talk to, begging them to get me lives.
Is that how it works?
So, because I'm trying to avoid spending money, because when I spend money, then I get into trouble that I've been spending money on this thing, and I've been spending so much.
Have you spent so much money on it? How much?
So, but Gareth, why must you expose me to the people? So
please
what
tell
I
tell me how much. Please tell me how I much you've spent. Hundreds?
When?
Thousands. Thousands.
I got to the thousands of rands mark
on just a game that doesn't get you anything.
I didn't realize because it was going out in little bits and pieces.
How much?
It wasn't that much.
2,000.
Just over. And then, so now what I do is when Christmas is coming, I just ask people to buy me the Google money. You know the Google Play money.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's like iTunes money. Then there's that card with money. But I'll be okay.
All right, well, you could be addicted to vapor rub, so your life is better. It is now 12 minutes to 8. All right, how do you like them apples? We gave you two in a row there for a change. Perfect Strangers and Jonas Blue. Very nice. Are you ready for the weekend? You better be, because it's coming at you whether you want to or not. Big thank you to Lucas for standing in this morning for Michael Flax, who is at Rocking the Daisies. I actually was hoping we'd check in with Flax, but I'd rather get a report back on Monday. So he says he's not going to take his phone in because he's worried he'll lose it or it'll get stolen. So he's planning on being very drunk.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good on his part, though, for thinking that far ahead.
Yeah. I've never been to Rocking the Daisies. I've actually never been to any festivals, ever.
Why?
I'm trying to think.
That whole camping thing you spoke about.
Oh, yes, the bar thing. The whole
thing. And they have like 5-star. There are things that you can buy, like, you know, running water and, you know, all that kind of thing at these festivals. But I'm...
It's a little bit out of my comfort zone.
It's not my thing.
Yeah.
You don't seem like the kind anyway, Gareth, to be honest. Mabale, I can see you just once.
Could you see me like braving the wilderness?
Just once.
I don't know.
But no.
Mm-mm. I don't know, because then you've got to worry about mosquitoes and...
Yeah. Please, let's do it once.
Here,
I once MC'd at a Woodstock thing. Anyway.
Judas says, for extra lives and Candy Crush, all you have to do is change the date on your phone settings. Each day is 5 lives.
I've tried that. It's such a pain in the ass. It's too much. No, that's too much.
You change the date on your phone.
I've been there, done that. I did.
You're an addict. Yeah. And addicts know this stuff.
Yeah. And I love how Judas is being an enabler here. Good for you. Good for you, Judas.
Why are you judging Judas? He's only being helpful.
I'm not judging. I'm saying good for you, Judas.
That is an enabler.
Looking out.
I love the way you're being told by Judas.
Judas.
The guy who betrayed Jesus.
Yeah.
And is betraying him now by enabling an addict. Tava. Thanks, G-Daz. These haters don't know nothing.
Tava says, good show. We love Tumi. And Bobby Tsotsets, he says, powerful show from Tumi earlier. Mm. Yeah, it's when you, you know, when you lost your shit and you started ranting and raving. The mom and stepdad are on their way to Mauritius to read the 17-year-old dead girl. Ooh.
Oh,
ooh, that's what Heather says. She's just checked the story out. And Jeffrey says, it's like sipping tea on the Gareth Cliff Show. This morning, yeah. Don't forget, Tumi has her own show on cliffcentral.com. It's called Sipping Tea, and she's regularly joined by Mabale there. They started the show together, and then Mabale absconded and just abandoned
I abandoned Tumi.
And now she uses me for a fix.
Tumi took me back. Tumi took me back.
I did, didn't I?
Like a wife who forgives a cheating husband, she took
all
me
the
back.
Time. Yeah.
Coming up in a short while, we'll talk to Thomas Gumede and to Lungile Radu. We're going to talk to them about their new show that they're putting together called Hashtag Bring Back My Lover. Like we need more drama in the world. We'll find out from them what it's all about in a short while. Here is somebody who's addicted to vapor rub.
Okay.
Now, we've heard all kinds of things. People who eat plastic bags, people who eat handfuls of sand. But listen to this. This is unreal.
I'm 33 years old. I live in San Antonio, Texas. And I am addicted to vapor rub. I use all kinds of vapor rubs. The inhaler, the patches, the candles. But the rub is my favorite. I like to put it on my eyelids. It's like when somebody squirts lemon in your eye. But it's a good burn.
Danielle has been addicted to vapor rub for over 20 years. It started innocently as a child when she had a cold.
I remember the first time I put it on my chest because I was sick, and it just smelled so good to me. I wanted to taste it, and it just went on from there.
Now, Danielle can't go more than 30 minutes without a fix and spends up to $350 a month to satisfy her cravings.
I like to use my inhaler as much as a full minute, just sitting there inhaling. It's like when you're somewhere really, really cold and you breathe. It kind of like stings a little, but kind of the good sting.
But sniffing inhalers isn't the only way Danielle satisfies her addiction.
Just get a scoop, put it in the back of my tongue. It's hot, and then it turns cold, and it keeps going back and forth. I like to feel it melt in the back of my throat. It's so relaxing.
Ugh.
Danielle is so hooked, she even needs vapor rub in her morning tea.
I usually coat the bag with a little bit of the vapor rub, and then I'll do a full teaspoon. It kind of coats your throat, and it stays there.
It makes the house smell really nasty. It's like gross. It's vapor rub. It's not what you eat.
What the hell is wrong with people? Vapor rub isn't even edible, right? It's eucalyptus, isn't it?
Yeah, it's eucalyptus.
I think the warning on the packaging actually says not for ingestion. Do not ingest.
I'm just wondering what she smells like.
Like vapor rub.
There are worse smells than that. But what a thing to be addicted to. People are addicted to everything. Candy Crush, vapor rub. What is wrong with everybody? It's insane.
We're going to find your addiction, Gareth. I know you have one. You're just masking it somehow. I'm going to find it. I'm going to make it my life mission.
It's madness. Now listen, I'm talking at a big conference this morning.
Oh, wait, never.
Look at you.
Yeah, it's called Sea Africa. It's the Entertainment Expo Africa, which I think is for a lot of people interesting and exciting. You know, talent, which is what Tumi has in spade loads. Mm. Sometimes it makes you money, sometimes it doesn't.
Mm.
But we've got to figure out the business behind this. So I'm going to speak to Vicky. She's actually in studio with us this morning. Vicky is with PricewaterhouseCoopers, which aren't you guys moving to that huge big building in Waterfall eventually? That's going to be your head office, isn't
it? Yes, indeed. Yeah. In March 2018, we hope to.
Only
move.
Then. But that's going to be one hell of a view from up there. You know that big building next to the mall?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be PwC.
Yes, we're very excited.
Oh, I'm sure. Have you booked a top floor office there? What's the story?
I'm negotiating.
Yeah. So you've been with PwC for 20 years, and you're a partner in the assurance practice, and you've been the South African leader for PwC's entertainment and media practice for the last 7 years. So what does PwC have to do with media? Explain to me where that relationship comes from.
It really comes from our relationship, firstly, with our clients. We audit and do a lot of services for many of the big media companies in South Africa and around the world.
SABC?
Not.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. I wonder why. You mean you didn't approve Claudie's 11 million rand bonus? Oh.
No.
Oh, no.
We had no involvement in that.
So you do a lot of work with media companies, but the media environment's changing so much. You guys must have seen that from a distance already, right?
Indeed. And I think, you know, we do an annual outlook every year. And what we see is actually it's a world of differences. So you've got some industry sectors doing spectacularly well, and others in deep, deep decline. And probably not going to turn it either.
So who's in the biggest trouble and who looks like they're building something that could be valuable for the future?
Yeah, I think the biggest trouble is the publishing industry and in particular the newspaper industry. So we see the newspaper industry in 2020 being a billion rand smaller than it is today.
And it's already tiny.
And it's already small. So I think they are under immense pressure. And that's not just South Africa, it's global. In fact, ours is a little bit slower than many other countries.
Now, the newspapers that do the best in South Africa are things like the Daily Sun.
Yes.
It's tabloids, really.
It is, although even they have seen some big declines. The newspapers that I think will continue to do well are the local community newspapers.
Like Isolezwe.
Yes. And also your Wednesday newspaper with all the specials.
Mabs and I get all our news from Isolezwe every morning. It's our
like
number one
clockwork.
Source.
Yes. they have done well, yes.
And there's still lots of people who will spend advertising money in those publications?
There is, because still television's the biggest advertiser, newspapers second.
Really?
At the moment, although that will in time overturn.
And what's the most exciting new frontier as far as these people are concerned in media?
The new frontier is certainly the internet. So online spending, online advertising, that's growing, grew at 23% in 2015 and will continue to grow double-digit growth rates.
Nice.
But television and video entertainment are also very attractive industries. They've managed to migrate across platform well. Mm-hmm. Video games is the other one.
Yeah, gaming is huge. Gaming.
And I think with the social gaming and mobile gaming in Africa, those are doing.
Do you know how Tumi
well.
Can get more lives in Candy Crush?
she can become a friend of mine. She has a bit of a problem.
You also play.
Feed my needs.
This is like an epidemic. Everybody I've spoken to this morning now since you brought this up is on Candy Crush.
I think actually one of the biggest growth areas is sort of women aged 35 to 45, sort of, or 30 to 45. Appeals to, I mean, my children laugh at me.
Well, you don't have to, for once you've got something you don't need any of them to involve themselves
indeed.
In, right? You can actually do your own thing.
Oh, you're quite good.
What a relief. Sure. Are you quite good?
Oh, wow.
How do you measure? Do you get points?
You move up.
You move up.
There's like a level 2000 situation.
But when do you finish the game?
You don't. Never. The levels keep increasing. Because what happened is I did try and quit. I took it off my phone for a month. For a month, I was very proud of myself. I did not play this
Guys,
game.
I'm sure,
cold
I'm
turkey.
Sure. But now I'm on like I'm on level 500 now.
I'm sure there's some.
Where are you, Vicky?
Geek. Also 520.
See, now I must catch up. She's on 520. I have a
I'm sure there's some tech geek in a basement in North America somewhere who's finished that game.
No, there is. There's a chick who got, I think she got 10 iPads or something during Miss World.
Yeah.
No, Miss America. I mean, Miss World. When Steve Harvey embarrassed himself, and she like they had just brought out the stage, and she finished that stage, and she won.
Sure.
Okay. Highest Candy Crush level.
Yeah, it's 2000.
Harsh Bavada currently at level 647 and pushing for the finish line. Candy Crush Saga currently holds a whopping 2,065 levels in 138 episodes.
That's 2,065.
With 1,400 reality levels within 94 normal episodes. And 665 Dream World levels within 54 Dream World episodes. I don't even know what that means.
I'm so turned on right now. That was you talking dirty to me.
So you guys are...
Live in fear that it's going to end.
If Harsh Bavada is at 647, you're only about 120 away from her.
You can take the lead.
Yeah, come on, Vicky. What the hell?
Take on Harsh Bavada.
What does she look like? What's that?
Ooh, Harsh Bavada.
Mm. No, that's not who we're
looking
at. No,
we've been distracted.
Oh, I thought you were looking at pictures of Harsh Bavada.
No.
All right, so Vicky, tell me, with all of this work that you guys are doing, does it give you the eagle eye, almost like a bird's eye view of how media is developing and what might be coming next. I mean, this is quite an exciting place to be.
It really does. And I think you start to see some trends that you haven't seen before. One of the very interesting ones we've seen is there's an almost perfect correlation with younger countries with people under the age of 35 and their projected growth in E&M. So just to put E&M? It in entertainment and media spend. So to put it a different way, the 10 youngest countries are growing 3 times faster than the 10 oldest countries. So
where are we on that chart?
In very good position. So our population is 60% under the age of 35.
Yeah.
Nigeria, Kenya, even better at 80%. So Nigeria is second to Indonesia as far as that goes. So entertainment and media spend is in a good place as far as the youth goes. And there's a couple of reasons for that. I mean, young people, one, are comfortable with consumption, but two, spend a lot of time online, and three, increasingly are, you know, with the emerging middle class, have more money to spend. So it really is propelling the industry.
That's very exciting. You're going to be speaking at Sea Africa, or are you guys going to be present there, PwC?
Yes, I will be speaking later this afternoon.
Very good. We look forward to hearing what you have to say. Thank you very much for coming to see us, Vicky. Vicky Myberg is she's from PwC Africa, and very, very interesting stuff going on in media and entertainment. Indeed.
I must go there. Maybe I'll...
But you should speak there. Apparently Randall spoke there last year.
Okay.
So next year they'll go for Somizi. All right. Thank you very much, Vicky.
Thank
what a
you.
Pleasure to meet Thanks. You. When we come back in a moment or two, Thomas Gumede, and we'll speak to it's Lungile Radu as well. The two of them are putting a show together, which I'm sure you're going to love, called #BringBackMyLover. Cliffcentral.com.